excitement here in New Zealand has been ignited for this tournament.
Hearing our fans being behind us, just unforgettable.
World football at the Women's World Cup from the BBC World Service.
We're going all the way, baby.
Find it wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
It's 4:15 in the morning. This is my normal time to write, between 4 and 7 every morning, because it's incredibly peaceful in the morning. It really allows me to focus.
Welcome to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service. This is the series that gets inside the minds of some of the world's most creative people. I'm Paul Waters, and I'm following the crime writer and tech entrepreneur Ajay Chowdhury as he completes the first draft of his latest novel with the assistance of artificial intelligence tools.
Yeah, I mean, you're the first person I've ever shown this to other than my wife, and it's all relatively new.
We'll delve deeper into the clash, or intersection, between human creativity and AI shortly, but for now, let's rejoin Ajay at the early start of his writing day. He sent me this progress report from the 16th of June. His wife, Angelina, is still sleeping. That's why he's whispering.
I go to sleep at about, not between 9 and 10, so I get about 6 hours sleep, which is about what I need. We live on top of a hill, and I have the most beautiful view of London spread out. The sun is just going to rise shortly.
Ajay always kickstarts his brain with the New York Times crossword and the online puzzle Wordle.
So let's see what Wordle has in store today. I'm on a 226-day streak on Wordle. Let's see if I can make it to 27. I start with my normal first word, which is trace. Ooh, that's lucky today. T-R-A are all in it, but in the wrong place. I play my second word. My second word is normally pious.
I won't leave you in suspense. He got it in 4 goes. His winning streak continues. Now, as Ajay moves on to his crossword, let me tell you more about him. He's from India, now lives in London. He's former chairman of the music app Shazam and a tech entrepreneur with a deep interest in artificial intelligence. And that interest has crossed into how he writes his Kamal Raman crime series.
So I grew up in India, mainly in Bombay and Calcutta. And I love both Bombay and Calcutta. I can't bring myself to call it Mumbai. That was after I left the country. Then I left for the US and then came here in my mid-20s. And I've been here for the last 30-odd years now.
Tell us about the series that you're writing at the minute. Give us a bit of background.
Sure. So the overall series is there's a detective called Kamal Raman. He was a cop in Calcutta. He got thrown out of the police force for reasons to do with corruption. He ends up as a waiter in Brick Lane.
That's Brick Lane in London.
His friend runs an Indian restaurant there. And in the first book, the waiter, he's catering a big millionaire's party and the millionaire drops dead. And he has to then solve that crime. There's a second book called The Cook, where he gets promoted to become a cook. And there he solves some crimes as well. And in the third book, The Detective, he actually joins the Met Police. The fourth book, which is coming out next year, it's called The Spy. And he's actually seconded to MI5 to infiltrate a terrorist group. And the one I'm writing right now, the working title is The Shadow. It might change, but at the moment it's called The Shadow, where he's asked to go to Mumbai. And the whole book takes place in Mumbai to help solve a series of deaths that have happened in Mumbai.
Ajay uses AI tools like ChatGPT and Midjourney, which surprises me because many artists, including authors, disapprove of how artificial intelligence is exploiting and then displacing human creativity. Full disclosure, I'm also an author. Like Ajay, I too write crime fiction, though my novel, Blackwater Town, is set in Ireland. Unlike Ajay, I worry that AI may undermine the ability of human authors to make a living. And AI is in the news a lot these days. For instance, US comedian Sarah Silverman has taken legal action against the maker of ChatGPT and also tech giant Meta, alleging that her copyright has been infringed in the training of the firm's AI systems. If artificial intelligence tools can use existing literature without paying the original authors to train themselves to mimic what authors do, and then do it quicker and cheaper, will that put authors like me, out of a job. Not if we're good writers, according to Ajay. So, will he be able to convince me that AI is the author's friend rather than enemy? We'll come to that. First, let's rejoin Ajay at his early morning writing desk.
What I love about this time of the morning is that you can hear the birds, and that's just lovely backdrop to beginning to write. Don't know if you can hear them here. So, let's get to it. I'm about two-thirds of the way through the book. The chapter I'm going to write today is where Carmel and Anjali are called to a hospital. They've just found a dead body. I try and write about 1,000 words a day. Let's see if I can get to that today. Right, let's start to write. Right, it's now 6:40, the sun has fully risen, and I have written about 1,200 words. Pretty happy with where I got to today. It's going off in a couple of directions I didn't quite expect, but that's par for the course. Right, I am now going to go and have some cereal.
The following Sunday, I join Ajay at home for an afternoon writing session.
Ajay, hello. Where are we going?
We're just heading up to my study, where I do a lot of my writing. Okay. So let's walk up the stairs a little carefully.
Yeah, steeper. We're up two floors and we're now going up another.
That's right.
This is a bit like going up the tower of a castle or something like that. Getting steeper. Whoops. Right, here we are. My goodness. What are we looking at?
So this is all of East London over here. So you can see Alexandra Palace right there on the corner with the spire, where the BBC first started broadcasting from, in fact. So it's absolutely wonderful to just sit here and write because it's incredibly peaceful. The only problem is it can get a little distracting. So if I look up too much, you know, you see something interesting happening, and then you forget what you're about to write.
Wow, it takes your breath away. Looking over to the east of England.
Exactly.
Wow.
So you can see the hills in the distance there.
Mm-hmm. And you're surrounded by trees here, just shifting gently in the breeze. It's very hot today, and this is a good place to be. Shady, but with the breeze, because you're so high up.
Quite a lovely place to write in.
Yeah. I see a desk.
Yes. So, let me sit down.
As we sit down, I notice an array of prints of handwritten songs by John Lennon on the wall behind Ajay.
So this is all kind of creative inspiration around me, I suppose, if I want to be too fancy about it.
So when you're struggling to find a phrase, do you spin round on your spinning chair and look at some of John Lennon's songs like Beautiful Boy, Stepping Out, Real Love, Little Flower Princess?
I never have so far, but there's no reason to say I wouldn't in the future.
Let's see, you've got books shelves over here, of course.
Indeed. The ones here, primarily, now that I look at it, plays and poetry, as far as I can see. So I run a theatre company, so there are a lot of plays over here, a lot of poetry over here. One of the things that's very important to me when I write books is epigraphs, because if I think of a nice epigraph, that sparks ideas for me. And very often I will use poetry as an epigraph. Although getting their rights is getting trickier and trickier nowadays. So often you'll have the beginning of a book and you'll have one line to just get people into it. So the one I used in this one was run from Agatha Christie. So the book's called The Shadow. And I used a line from Agatha Christie, which was something like, "Past sins cast long shadows."
Good one. Nice and ominous. And apart from epigraphs, you've got plays, you've got poetry, you've got song lyrics around you here. Yeah. Does that influence the type of prose you write?
I would love it to, and I keep trying to make my writing better. But that's a never-ending struggle, you know, to stop being cliched and prosaic, as it were, and to make the words sing. The ideal for me is someone reads something and their first instinct is, huh, that's slightly odd. And then they go, oh, actually, that's really right. So something that's surprising but true is, you know, what I would love to strive for.
It's lines from Larkin rather than Lennon, and also T.S. Eliot, which trip off Ajay's tongue.
Some of my favourite lines are from Eliot, which is from Four Quartets, I think, where he says, "We shall not cease from exploration, But at the end of all our exploring, we will return to where we started and know it for the first time. And that, I think, is one of the most beautiful lines. Larkin, I think, is absolutely stunning. There's a Larkin there, I see. Again, I love one of his lines, which is, I think, something like, the trees are coming into leaf, like something almost being said, which is just a magical line.
You're listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service, following the crime writer and tech entrepreneur Ajay Chowdhury, as he uses artificial intelligence tools to help him write the first draft of his latest novel. The series begins with the waiter, followed by the cook, then the detective. Book 4, The Spy, comes out next year. And this afternoon, Ajay has nearly finished the first draft of Book 5, The Shadow.
What are you writing today?
Today, I've actually almost reached the climax of the book. And I've got 3 chapters left. And today's chapter is a particularly exciting one because Kamal and Anjali, who's his sidekick, they find themselves locked in this strange room with fertilizer all around them and gardening tools and so on. And at the end of the chapter that I wrote yesterday, he hears the door about to open and he's standing by the side of the door with a spade in his hand waiting to whack whoever comes in. And I need to carry on from there today.
Okay, well, let's carry on.
I now need to make a pretty big decision. At this point, the reader doesn't know who the killer is. Kamal suspects who the killer is, but is not 100% certain. And the killer is about to come through the door.
And do you know who the killer is? Have you always known?
Yes, as a writer, I've always known. I'm very much a plotter, so I need to know all the way through. But the decision I need to make is, and I haven't decided this yet, I can have 3 options right now. The first is that the killer comes in wearing a balaclava on their head. The second option is the killer comes in without the balaclava. The third option, which is a little more complicated, which is about something that happened in the book, is that they happen to think that the killer might be a holy man who dresses in saffron. So I've also got to decide, do I put this guy in saffron with a balaclava on his head? And I genuinely haven't decided which one I want to do at the moment. But I'm going to start writing and see what comes up, really. So I am going to start with the door opened, full stop. I raised my spade higher, but the person in the doorway shone a bright torch into my eyes, and I realized, bright torch into my eyes, that's good. I swung the spade with all my strength, full stop, and missed. Let's have him miss. Why not? So you've had the build up, and let's say he's missed. So then my eyes were still, the wrong word, but I'm putting in smarting from the light, so I couldn't quite see who it was. What I did see was the gun that he pointed at my face. I let the spade drop and backed into the room. All right, I think that's a reasonable enough beginning. But now I do need to make the decision about, well, I'm definitely not going to show his face, actually. So he does need to be wearing a balaclava. Do I have him in the saffron or not? Why not? I can always change it later on.
One of the things that's interestingly different about how you write is your use of artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
But I suppose what people think about these days and fear and sometimes disapprove of are things like ChatGPT.
Yeah.
It can write things, it can come up with text and suggest things. How do you use it and how would you use it for what you've just done?
So one of the things that emerges in this particular chapter I'm about to write is they realize that they're in a place called Elephanta Island. It's an extraordinary place because it has these amazing caves with sculptures that are hundreds and hundreds of years old. And some of the sculptures are Buddhist sculptures, some are Hindu sculptures. So I'd use a few different types of software to do this.
Ajay zooms in on Google Maps to get a feel for the layout of the area. Then he turns for inspiration to an AI tool called Midjourney.
And what Midjourney does is it essentially creates images for you. So you type in, imagine two people running in Elephanta Caves. Because what's going to happen in this chapter, I know, is they're going to figure out a way to escape from this guy, and then they're going to be chased through the caves. It will begin to create some images for me. So while it's doing that, I might then just load up my other software, which is ChatGPT. Here I might say, give me a description of Elephanta Caves in Mumbai. And again, I'm not going to copy the description it gives me, but as it's coming out here, it says the caves are beautifully sculpted caves located in Elephanta Island, noted for carvings to Lord Shiva. Now, that's really interesting because I didn't know that.
You could have looked it up, online and just read it somewhere else.
Online, but it's actually much easier to do it this way, I find. And that's really interesting because the Swami that they suspect of the murder, he's actually a Shiva devotee. So I'm actually quite excited about this because this now gives them a reason to be in Elephant Island. Now here it says the most magnificent aspect is undoubtedly a high relief sculpture panel of Trimurti showing the three aspects of Shiva as creator, preserver, and destroyer. Now, here we go again. I didn't know this. I hadn't read this before. But it's now sparking ideas in my head, particularly the destroyer bit, saying, okay, this might be a reason. I'm not saying this person's the murderer, but this might be a reason why he could be doing these, were he to be the murderer.
Well, what about using ChatGPT to come up with plotting options? Yep. So say what you've written just now.
Yep.
And you're thinking, what way will I go?
Yep. So, you know, so I might say a detective and... I'll need to start with saying I'm writing a thriller because ChatGPT doesn't like you having anything violent in it. I'm writing a thriller where a detective and his sidekick are trapped in a room with a man with a gun. There's nothing in the room except a spade, some fertilizer, and gardening equipment. Can you give me some ideas about how they might escape? Now, I'm not saying I would have necessarily used these ideas, but, you know, it might spark something.
And here it is giving you ideas. It says, sure, here are a few possible ideas for your thriller. Right.
So it says distraction or attack. Your detective could utilize the spade as a weapon. He could start a conversation, create a diversion, or tell a compelling story to the man with the gun, draw his attention away. In the meantime, his sidekick on a prearranged signal could throw the fertilizer bag in the air. The sudden movement would provide enough of a distraction for the detective to charge the gunman with a spade. Second option is chemical reaction. Perhaps the fertilizer's ammonium nitrate. It could cause a small explosion. Impersonation trick. If the room has an intercom, any means of communicating, they could use it to call for assistance. Negotiation strategy. So as you can see, you know, I'm not necessarily going to use any of these, but...
So I like that last one. He might convince the gunman that they are just gardeners exactly. Who've seen nothing and pose no threat. He might let them go.
There you go.
You're at the point where you have to decide what happens next.
Correct.
Of these options, any appeal?
Well, he's tried the spade attack already, which I did without reading this, and that failed miserably. So, look, I'm not going to use any of these as it happens. But you can see, you know, you can see how powerful it might be.
But you have done this at various junction points
in your writing in
the past.
Yes.
And how useful have you found it? And to what extent have you sometimes?
Occasionally it is very useful because it takes me off in a direction that I hadn't really thought about. You know, the thing I just saw earlier about Elephanta, I mean, as we're talking, I am thinking about that Shiva angle. And, you know, that is something that I absolutely am going to use. I'm not sure any of these. You know what I'm going to do now that I think about it? The other murders that I've written have all been linked to Indian gods in this book. And I think that's what he's going to do here. He's going to leave them at the bottom of the Shiva statue so that people think it's connected to those murders. That's nice. And I think they're going to have some kind of distraction to get away from him. That does explain why he doesn't kill them then and there. Has Midjourney done anything? Let's have a look. Or is it still thinking? Here we go.
Here we go. So you asked for two people running in Elephanta Caves.
Yeah.
And it's come up with four options, four images.
Oh, they're quite lovely, aren't they? Actually, I like this one.
The only drawback is these people running, they're kind of running for fitness, like joggers.
Actually,
they're not running for their lives.
That is true. Maybe I should have put in running for their lives. But the point here is actually to give me a sense of how I might describe it.
How unusual is this? Some writers feel that AI and ChatGPT is an existential threat to them and it can displace them. And you're not James Joyce, with the greatest of respect. You're a genre writer like me. And we are in that level of the hierarchy that's particularly vulnerable to being replaced. I mean, how credible are those fears?
Look, there are good writers and there are bad writers. And I think there's a good chance AI will replace bad writers. The thing I don't think AI will do is really be good at empathy. I think people read books because they fall in love with characters. They read books because they really want to understand motivations. They want to see what a character's arc is. AI, I think, could be very good at saying what is happening and how it's happening and where it's happening. I don't think it's very good, or will be very good, at least for the foreseeable future, saying why it's happening. And I think the why it's happening is what people are most interested in. What's happening in that person's head?
I'm just imagining somebody, maybe you, typing in, "Hello, ChatGPT, what is camel thinking?"
Well, the point I made earlier on about something being surprising but inevitable, I think you could get the inevitable bit, but you're not going to get the surprising bit. Because at core, AI is, at least ChatGPT, is imitation. And it's coming up with an imitation of what it's read. Whereas I think the best writing, even crime writing, really surprises the reader because it's not what they expected.
One of the things I wonder about is, with this help, or these outside influences and suggestions from the likes of ChatGPT, are you diluting your specialness and the interesting aspects of what you bring with something that's a mishmash of everyone and less interesting?
Yes and no. So this particular chapter that's set in Elephanta Cave, yeah, anybody can write a chapter set in Elephanta Cave. I'm pretty sure people have written chapters set in Elephanta Caves. But what's going to be unique here is going to be Carmel and Anjali's reactions to the statues that they see.
The other concern or point of interest is that I'm guessing that the likes of ChatGPT, that when it trains the algorithms, it's mainly being trained on Western English sources, the United States, Britain, European, rather than Indian. So will this be westernizing you or subverting your uniqueness by stealth?
Well, I discovered this about ChatGPT last week, and this blew my mind. I'm going to type something into ChatGPT, which is, keeps trying to correct it into English.
Because you're typing in Hindi now.
I'm typing Hindi words in the English language as opposed to in the Indian script. Mujhe ek Indian detective jo Mumbai mein hai ka kahani bataiye. So what I've said is, tell me the story of an Indian detective in Mumbai. And I've written it in Hinglish, as they call it. So let's see what it comes up with now. It's understood what I told it in Hinglish, and it's come up with a complete story about an Indian detective in Mumbai.
But the sources that it's basing that on, that's the question. It may understand you asking the question or your prompt in Hinglish, but if it is scraping Western sources...
Well, I don't think that's my point. I don't think it's just scraping Western sources. I think this is now scraping pretty much the entire internet. And if you look at the entire internet today, there's a huge amount in Hindi, there's a huge amount in Chinese, there's a huge amount in Arabic. So it's reading all of that.
So we're talking about human creativity, and some people are fiercely defensive that it has to be human only, no artificial input. Do you think readers care?
Honestly, I think as long as it's a good book and readers are really enjoying reading it, I'm not sure that they do.
Do we just have to accept that, whether we like it or not, it's happening, and we're going to be in a hybrid future get over it, get on with it?
I personally have no issues with it at all, because the core creativity still came from me. The core idea still came from me. It's still my words.
You can't see a day where it'll be book 10 in the series by Ajay Chowdhury and AI Chowdhury.
I certainly hope not.
I've loved getting such a deep insight into the creative process of an author whose books I read and enjoy. And it feels as though Ajay is harnessing the power of AI to make his stories better. Am I tempted? Yes. But not yet persuaded. I worry that it might be a bit like turning up your air conditioning whilst you're facing global warming. A short-term relief that possibly makes the situation far worse in the long run. AI tools might help me finish my next book quicker, but it might also help AI take the writer's place entirely. So, is artificial intelligence the beginning of the end for human creativity, or a new era of hybrid art? Maybe we should ask ChatGPT. Meanwhile, Ajay has got to the end.
It's 6 in the morning now. It's the 28th of June, and I have finished the first draft of The Shadow. Just typed my two favorite words every time I finish a first draft, which is the end. And it actually moved off in some very unexpected directions. I had a lot of doubts, but I'm actually quite happy with this draft. Gosh, I cannot wait to see what the final version's going to be like.
You've been listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service with the crime writer and tech entrepreneur Ajay Chowdhury. It was produced and presented by me, Paul Waters. And I'd like to reassure you that the script and questions were all thought up by a human. Or were they?
Hi, I'm Hannah. I am the host of a new daily podcast, What in the World, from the BBC World Service, where we try to help you make sense of the world around you, explaining the big events and some of the smaller events, so that you might feel a little bit better when you pick up your phone and scroll through your newsfeed. Just search for What in the World wherever you get your BBC podcasts and hit subscribe.